Shalom to all! Today's daf is about Basar Daf Nun Ches, and we are starting about the fourth line with the words Rabbanah, and today's daf is sponsored by Lili Nishmas, Marsh Merim Sar Basar Yaakov Moshe, Hernish Shama Shadav Nulia, Elilu Nishmas, Marsh Rivka Basar Meir Zev, Hernish Shama Shadav Nulia, Elilu Nishmas, Marsh Fromer Razel Basar Shlemi Yaakov, Hernish Shama Shadav Nulia, and she should be Melitz Yeshur for her family and all of Klal Yisrael. And yesterday we had a number of members from Rabbanah, so we continue. Rabbanah Havakometzain Ma'arta, Rabbanah used to mark underground burial caves. This is called a crypt. It's basically like an underground area, a cave of sorts that they used to bury their dead. And he used to mark it above ground so people could know there's tumah over here and not to walk across. Now, kimat al ma'arta d'Avram, when he came to the cave of Avram, meaning the Ma'arta Machpelah, Ashkel Eliezer Eved Avram d'Koy Kaim Bava, he saw that Eliezer, the servant of Avram, was standing in front of the entranceway. So Rabbi Rabbanah asked him, Maika Eved Avram, what's Avram doing now? Amalei, he told him, Gani b'chafn d'Sara, he's laying the lap of Sara, become Aino Leberesh, and she's looking or gazing at his head. This is some sort of expression of love. So Amalei Rabbanah told him, Zil Emalei, please go tell Avram Ravinu, Bina Kaya Bava, the Bina is here by the door and he wants to come in. Now, obviously, only Rabbanah would be able to do this because he was a tzaddik and a chacham and a gadol and very important, and he's coming in for a good purpose. He needs to mark the ma'ara to make sure people don't become tamei. So Amalei Avram Avinu told Eliezer, Leil, let him come inside. May the idea, it's known, the Yetzer b'hai Amaleka, that there's no Yetzer in this world, meaning we're dealing with the world. After this world, there's no such a thing as Yetzer Hara, and therefore Avram wasn't afraid that Rabbanah would misconstrue this expression of love between Sarah and him as something inappropriate. And therefore, Rabbanah went in, he took a look around to see the measurements, v'nafak, and he went out. Now, since he was where Avram was, that means he also was where Yitzchak and Yaakov were buried, because Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are all buried in the same Ma'ara. And Kimat al Ma'arta de Adam Arishain, when Rabbanah went to the Ma'ara of Adam Arishain, which is in the second part of the Ma'arta Machpelah, Yotza Basko Ba'amra, Abasko came out and said, Nistakalt b'dmust yikani, you looked at some form of my image, which is Yaakov Vinu. B'dyukni atma al tistakel, you're not allowed to look at my image itself. We know from somewhere else that the form or the image of Yaakov was like Adam Arishain, and Adam himself was in a way like the image of Hashem. So the Basko came out and said, you're not allowed to go into where Adam Arishain is, because you're not look at my image. So Rabbanah responded, I have to mark where the grave is. And the answer came back to him in form of a baskol, whatever the measure of the outer one is, that's the same measure of the inner one. Now this refers to my chalkes of what the Ma'arta Machpelah was. According to this manda, Amar, it was two rooms, one set further back from the other. And that's what the baskol was telling him, that the outer room, which where Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are, that is the same exact measurements as the inner room, so you could just go above ground and mark the same exact measurements a little further back. The Gemara continues asking the manda, Amar, what about according to the other manda, Amar, that the Ma'arta Machpelah was two rooms, one on top of another, not one set within the other. The measurement of the upper one is just like the measurement of the lower one. Rabbanah was unsure, perhaps the lower one was wider, and therefore a wider area had to be marked above ground, and that's what Basko was telling him, that no, they're the exact same size. And Rabbanah said about this, I looked at the two heels of Adam Rishon, and they were like the two balls of the sun. We give him something similar. All other women, when compared to Sarah, Yemenu, is like a monkey compared to a man. And Sarah b'fnei Chava, Sarah compared to Chava, kikayf b'nei Adam. That's like a monkey compared to a man. And Chav b'fnei Adam, Chav in relations to Adam, kikayf b'nei Adam. That's like a monkey to a man. And Adam b'fnei Shechina, Adam Rishon himself, in comparison to the Shechina, kikayf b'nei Adam, is also like a monkey to a man. And Shofar de Rav Kahana, the beauty or splendor of Rav Kahana, skip with the parentheses, me'ain Shofar de Rav Avo, was like a little bit of the beauty of Rav Avo. And Shofar de Rav Avo, me'ain Shofar de Yaakov Avinu, the beauty of Rav Avo, was like a little bit of the beauty of Yaakov Avinu. And Shofar de Yaakov Avinu, me'ain Shofar de Adam Rishon. And we had said this before. And we continue talking about graves. It was an Amgusha, which is a machashe for like a sorcerer. He used to dig by corpses, basically a grave robber. He would steal their clothing. And Kimata Ma'arta Rav Tuvi Bar Masna, when he came to the Ma'ara of Rav Tuvi Bar Masna, Tafse B'dikne, the corpse of Rav Tuvi Bar Masna grabbed him by his beard and he didn't let him go. So Asa Abaye came along. He was his fellow's friend. Amrlei, he asked Rav Tuvi Bar Masna, Bimtusim Minach, I beg of you, Shafke, leave him be. And the corpse let this fellow be. Now, Shana Chrisi, the next year, Hadar Asa, the guy came back again. I don't know what he was thinking. Tafse B'dikne, the corpse once again grabbed him by his beard. Asa Abaye came, Lo Shafke, and the corpse did not let him go. Ad Aisim Ispera Vagazil Dikne, until Abai brought scissors and cut off this fellow's beard. And more situations with Rabbanah. Who the Armaluhu? There was a fellow who told his sons, Chavisa de Afrel Chad Baroi. After I die, one of you sons gets a barrel of dirt. Chavisa de Garmil Chad Baroi, and a barrel of bones goes to another son. And Chavisa de Udril Chad Baroi, a barrel of feathers goes to one son. Levu Yadi Maika Armaluhu, they didn't know what their father was telling them. Also, Kamed Rabbanah, they came to Rabbanah. Armaluhu, he asked them, Islechu Ara, do you guys have land? Amrule, they told him, in, yes. And then he asked them, Islechu Chevasa, do you have animals from your father? And they told him, in, yes. And then he asked them, Islechu Bistraki, do you have like bedding or blankets? And they told him, in, yes. And so his response that was, Ihachi, if that's so, Hachi Amalechu, this is what he was telling you. When he said a barrel of dirt, he meant the property. When he said a barrel of bones, he meant all the animals. And when he said a barrel of feathers, he meant all the bedding or the blankets. And another story with Rabbanah, who governed the Shamal de Betsu, the Ka'amar Labarta. There was a fellow who heard his wife telling his daughter, Amalech Sneb Isura, why are you more discreet when you do Isurim? When you're with other men, Be'isur, you should be more quiet about it. Hach, it saw this woman, she's talking about about herself, Asar Bani Isla, she had 10 sons, Vlesli Me'avoch El-Chad, and I only had one from your father. Now this fellow heard this, and he realized that only one of his sons was legitimate, and the other 9 were illegitimate. They were born from unions that his wife had with other men. So Kishachav, when he was dying, Amar Lui told all of his sons, Kol Nechas El-Chad Bra, all my property only goes to one of my sons. Now, Lo Yadi L'Hai Minayu, they didn't know which son all the property was supposed to go to. So Asla Kamed Rabbanah, they came to Rabbanah, Amar Lui told them, Zil Chavutu Kever Davuchain, go and strike the kever of your father, Adukai, until he gets up, Umigli L'Chu L'Hai Minayi Chushavka, and reveals to you which son he left all the property for. Now, Rabbanah's thought process in doing this was because a mamzer, which what 9 of his sons were, are considered brazen, they're considered to be Mechut Safim, that they have a lot of Azos. And so he figured that the son, which was legitimate, wouldn't have this Azos to him, and he wouldn't go strike his father's grave. And what happened? Azukulu, all of them went to go strike their father's grave. The one who was really his son didn't go. So Amar Lahu, Rabbanah told them, Kulu Nechsei Dehai, all the Nechasim belonged to this son. Now these sons were upset. Azu Achol Kurtzebe Malka, they went and informed on him to the king. Amar, they said as follows, Eker Gavar Chad B'Yudai, there's a fellow among the Yidin, Dekamapeg B'mayna Ma'anshi B'lai Sadi, he takes money away from people without aid him, U'b'lai Midi, and without any proof. And so Asu, the king's officials came, Chavshu, they locked him up in jail. Now had Rabbanah's wife get him out of jail, she was just as wise as he was. Azu Betsu, his wife went. Amar Lahu, she told the non-Jewish court system as follows. She made up a whole story. Avdechad Havali, I had an Eved, Paskul Reshe, they cut off his head, Upashlu Mashre, they pulled off his skin, Va'achlu Besre, and they ate his flesh, Ukamalu Bei Maya, and they filled up his skin with water, Umashki Bei Lechavraya, and they gave the students in the Beis Medrash to drink with it, V'lai Kayavli Dami V'lai Agre, and they didn't pay me for it or give me wages. Now, La Yadi, Maika Amr Lahu. These non-Jewish judges had no idea what the wife of Rabbanah was talking about. So Amri, they said, Nesel Chakim Adiudai, let's bring the wise man of the Jews, V'leiman, he'll tell us what she's saying. Karyula Rabbanah, so they called Rabbanah, who's in jail, and this is why she got him out of jail. And Amar Lahu, Rabbanah explained to them that this is what his wife was saying. Zarnuka Amar Lahu, she was telling you about a leather water flask. In other words, she wasn't talking about an eved, she was talking about a goat, and she meant to say that her goat was stolen, they cut the head off, they ate the flesh, and they took its skin, and they made it into a water flask, and didn't pay her for anything. Now, Amar, these judges told themselves, Ha'el Chakim Kulei Hai, since this Yid Rabbanah is so smart, let him sit by the entrance, by the gate, and he should judge cases that come to us. And when he was sitting there, Chaza the Havaksiv Babula, he saw that there was an inscription written on the door, and this is what it said, Call Dayan Demiskri Ladin, Loishme Dayon. Any Dayon, any judge that gets called to a Din Torah because of some sort of monetary issue that he has with somebody, he's not called a Dayon, because a judge has to be way above that. He has to be above monetary issues, and if somebody calls him to court because they have some sort of money problem, that means that this judge is suspect of taking bribes because he likes money, and therefore can't be a judge anymore. So Amar Lahu, Rabbanah told them, El Me'atif, that's really so, Asa Inishma Alma, a random guy is going to come along, Nochasama Beis on top, Umazmin Lay, that's a proper Girsa Ladina, Pasle, and he's going to passel him. Even though the whole charge is trumped up based off what you guys wrote on this gate, just by the mere fact that he was brought to a court case regarding money, that apostles him, and that's not fair. El rather said, Rabbanah, the proper thing is that called Dayan Dermiskri Ladin, Umafkin, we name him, Mayna Bedin, Lashme Dayan. Any judge that was called to Din Torah about money, and they took money from him because of this judgment, so then he's not called a Dayan, because then he's clearly suspect in regards to money. And so these judges amended what was written on the door. Kasvahachi, they wrote as follows after the statement that was written on the door. Baram, however, Sabdi Yudai, an elder of the Yidin, Amri said, Kol Dayan Demiskri Ladin, Umafkin Mi Name Imayna Bedin, Lashme Dayan. So they basically took Rabbanah's statement and inscribed it on the door after their statement. And Chazak Yosef, he saw another thing that was written, Bereish Kol Maisa Anodam, at the chief, at the head of every death, I am there, which is blood. That's the Anodam, I am blood. In other words, the reason why a person dies is because he has too much blood in his system, and that causes his death. And it also said, Bereish Kol Chayon Anachemar, at the head of the beginning of life, I am wine. In other words, if a person's sick, you give him wine, and that's going to revive him. So Rabbanah asked them, El Me'atav, that's really so. Denafel me'igru mis, udenafel me'diklu mis. Dama katle, if a guy fell off a roof, or if a guy fell off a palm tree and he died, was that because he had too much blood in him? No, he fell off the roof, and that's why he died. And Vesu, furthermore, mindedarkei lememis, someone who's on his way to dying, he's literally about to die. Mashkol echamer v'chaye, if you give him wine, is he going to live? Obviously, he's not going to. So how could you say that wine brings people back to life, and if a person has too much blood, they're going to die? El hachi ba'al mechtev, really, this is what should be written, Rabbanah, Bereish kol marin anodam, at the beginning of all illnesses, I am blood, meaning a person will get sick because he has an imbalance of blood in his body. And Bereish kol asvon anochemar, at the chief of all remedies, is wine. And Kasvuachin wrote the following, Baram sabdi yudai, however, this elder of the Yidden, Amr, he said as follows, Bereish kol marin anodam, Bereish kol asvon anochemar, and they also added on another line for clarification purposes, ba'asvon delas chemar, taman misbu samanim. In a place where there isn't wine, over there you have to look for samanim, which basically means medicine. In other words, they're clarifying that wine doesn't heal the sick, rather, it prevents a person from getting sick. Therefore, if it's a place that doesn't have wine, that's where you have to look for samanim for medicine to heal those that get sick. Now, once we mention something that's written on the door, the Gemara tells us, Ksiva Pescha de Kaputkaya, at the entrance to Kaputkaya, the following was written, Anpak, Anbag, antal, that these three measurements, one which is called anpak, another one which is called anbag, another one which is called antal, they're all the same exact measurements, even though they have three different names. And ve'ezu antal, what is the antal measurement? Zeh revius shel Torah. This is the revius, the quarter of a leg that we mentioned in the Torah. And on to another Mishnah, continue to talk about chazaka. And what's important to note over here is that the side with this Mishnah is that anything kavua, meant to remain, it's set, has the ability for the one who made it to create a chazaka. But if it's not kavua, no chazaka can be made because the owner figures that anyway this isn't permanent, so there's no need to make a macha. As Mishnah tells us, hamar zev in the chazaka, v'yashlam kaim a chazaka. A mar zev, one can't create a chazaka on it itself, but on its place he could create a chazaka. Whereas hamazchila yashlam chazaka, one could create a chazaka on a mazchila. What are these two things? So a standard roof would have a gutter. That's the pipe that runs along the entire length, catching runoff water. And at the end of this gutter, a small curved spout of sorts is fixed to direct the water away from the wall of the house. Now the gutter itself is called the mazchila, and the pipe that's connected to it is called the mar zev. So Mishnah is describing a case where we have Reuven and Shimon living next to each other. Reuven affixed a mazchila to his roof, and it's going over into Shimon's property. He could create a chazaka regarding that, and Shimon can't come to him after some time and tell him, hey, I don't like your mazchila here. It's tough luck. He already lost his ability for that. Whereas the mar zev, the water spout that drains the actual water, that one is not able to create a chazaka on, but its place does have a chazaka. And the Gemara is going to explain what that means. Another din, sulam hamitzri in the chazaka, ulitzuri yashla chazaka. If Reuven places a sulam mitzri in Shimon's property, there's no chazaka that can be created there because it's not something that's kavua, it's not something that's going to remain, it's too small of a ladder. Whereas a tsuri, which is a much larger ladder, that's something which is kavua, therefore he could create a chazaka and Shimon will not be able to say, Reuven, get your ladder out of here, a chazaka was already created. And lastly, chaloin hamitzris in the chazaka, ulitzuris yashla chazaka. If Reuven opens up a chaloin mitzri, this sort of window, he's not able to create a chazaka with it, but if he opens up a tsuri type window, he could create a chazaka with it. Now, izui chaloin hamitzris, how does a chaloin mitzris look? Kol she'ein rosh shel adam yachal kanes l'seicha, it's so small that a person can't fit his head through it. Whereas Rebuda says, im yesh l'malbein, if it has a proper frame on the top and bottom and both sides, afal pi she'ein rosh shel adam yachal kanes l'seicha, even if a person is not able to put his head through it, harizu chazaka, one could create a chazaka on it. And the reason why one is not able to create a chazaka on a chaloin mitzris is because it's a very small window, just meant to be as a viewer, to keep an eye out on his fields. It also happens to open to his neighbor's chatzer. Once again, since it's not permanent, no chazaka could be made in it. So the Gemara begins by asking on the first part of the Mishnah, my hamar zev ein lechazaka v'yashlam kaim chazaka. What does that mean? That he can't create a chazaka on the mar zev itself, but he could create a chazaka on its place. And we have three different answers to this. Amar Rav Yehudah Shmuley tells us, hachi kamar, this is what's being said, hamar zev ein lechazaka miruach achas v'yashlam kaim chazaka mishtei ruchas. The mar zev itself doesn't have a chazaka from one direction, but it does have a chazaka in two different directions. Think about it, the gutter, the maschila, has two ends. We'll call them the back and the front. And that he has a chazaka for. So Shimon can't tell Reuven to move the maschila itself. What Shimon is able to tell him is to move the mar zev. He doesn't like it at the front of the maschila, but he's not able to tell him to remove it completely. At maximum, he could tell him, I want you to move it from the front to the back, or from the back to the front. And that's what it means, yeshlim kaim chazaka. That Reuven did create a chazaka to be able to place his mar zev somewhere on his maschila in order to let the water to drain out onto Shimon's property. Now, Rav Chanina Amar, he gives a different understanding. Hamar zev ein lechazaka, what does this mean? She'im haya araych mekatzrai. If it was too long and it's jutting too much into Shimon's property, so Shimon could tell him, you have to shorten it. It's too much into my property. However, yeshlim kaim chazaka, what does that mean? That the place of it has a chazaka, shim bal oikrai, ein oikrai. That if Shimon wants to tell Reuven, you have to get rid of your mar zev completely, that he can't tell him. Now, we have a third explanation, Rav Yirmiyahu Abba Amar, he tells us, hamar zev ein lechazaka, what does that mean? She'im rotza livnos tachtov, bayna. That if Shimon, the owner of the schatzer, wants to build something underneath the mar zev, he's allowed to do so. Yeshlim kaim chazaka, what does this mean? She'im bal oikrai, ein oikrai. That if Shimon tries to tell Reuven, get rid of your mar zev completely, he's allowed to uproot it. So, I think Mar is going to ask on his last opinion. Not to Samar Alpha on the top. Tanan, our Mishnah had said, hamaschila yeshla chazaka. The Reuven does have a chazaka for his gutter to be over Shimon's property. Especially when the Amar Hanach Tati, Shapir. We understand according to the first two Manda Amrim, Shmuel and Reb Chanina, it's a chiddush from the Mishnah that tells us this. Since Shmuel told us that Mar Zev Ein Lechazaka means Meiruach Achas, the Mishnah has to tell us that Maschila does have a Chazaka. And according to Reb Chanina, that Mar Zev Ein Lechazaka means that if it's too long, he can be told to shorten it. So it's important to tell us that Maschila Yesha Chazaka, namely if the Maschila itself is very long, he can't be told to shorten it. El Manda Amr She'im Ratz Livna is Tachta of Baina, but according to his last Manda Amr, Reviewer by Abba, then when we say Mar Zev Ein Lechazaka, it means that Shimon, the owner of the property, is able to build something underneath the Mar Zev. What does make a difference to him? Meaning, why does the Mishnah need to tell us that Maschila Yeshla Chazaka? Of course, you're allowed to build underneath the Maschila. Why should you not be allowed to? What's the issue over there? What could Reuven possibly say to Shimon that would prevent him from building because he has a Chazaka? And the answer is, Hachol Maschila Shobin Yaskinon. Over here, we're talking about a Maschila, a gutter, which was made out of binyan, which means it was made out of stones. It wasn't half a PVC or metal pipe like we have. It was actually made out of stones. To Amar Lei, Reuven could tell Shimon, it's not good for me for you to ruin my wall, my building. In other words, Reuven's telling Shimon, if you're going to be building in your chatzer directly underneath my maschila, my gutter, since the gutter is made out of stone, all the vibrations and the shaking and everything from your building is going to ruin it, and I don't want it to get ruined. And that's what Mishnah is telling us. us that he has a chazaka, he's able to prevent Shimon from building, so as not to ruin his gutter. We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow and continue to discuss this. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.